No, we can start. You tell me when you want to go.
Okay, I'll start now. This is Neil Doody for Art Sound FM, and this morning, and you can tell from the echoes, we're actually in the middle of the Drill Hall Gallery with Ham Darak, and his exhibition called Propeller is on right now. In fact, we're looking at the, you could call it the hero piece of the show called Counterattack. Good morning, Ham.
Good morning. Hi. Nice to see you here in this echoey building. This is, yes, the feature piece of this show is Counterattack. It's a 12-metre wall painting that I've created after being inspired by another series of paintings by the famous Renaissance painter Paolo Uccello. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that that is a scaffolding and a starting point, and that I then explore the painting at my scale. So these fan-like shapes that you see are... Yep. Are actually the tip of my middle finger to the tip of my elbow.
Oh, really? That's the scale that we're looking at here.
That's right. So that factors. So that curve is my elbow to tip of finger, and that's repeated. So within that, it's called a cubit. It's a very old measuring system. The Egyptians used it, but they didn't necessarily use it to make wall paintings. No. They used it to measure crops and things like that. Yeah. But it is a very personal scale.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen it, and I recommend you do get down here and see it, it's vibrant in its colours, it's huge. How long is it?
It's 12 metres long.
12 metres long.
And it took me 5 weeks to make.
Wow. And this piece actually lives and dies with the exhibition, doesn't it? Because he's painted it on the wall.
Yes, that's right. It has a life of its own, and it's the run of the exhibition. I didn't intend to make it again. There are others of this series. This is the sixth painting of this series, where I've used my body proportions to make a painting.
All right,
There's a permanent one in the Legislative Assembly. There's a permanent one in Bathurst Regional Gallery. And then there's a number that have come and gone. But this one is the most colourful, most vibrant, and pushed me the most, purely the scale.
You can tell, yeah. So how much, I mean, of that, the time you spent, how many hours do you think you spent actually putting it together?
I couldn't tell you. I'm trying to... I didn't actually... I should try and work that out at some stage. But let's just say 5 weeks, and I painted almost every day.
Wow.
So drawing up took me the first week, and then I made little decisions here and there. Because, as I say, the scaffold of this painting comes from a very famous painting that's hanging in the National Gallery, London. And there's another one that's in the Uffizi, and another one that's in the Louvre. It's a series, and it's a battle scene. It's called the Battle of San Romano. But so I treated this as a battle of pictorial space. So the colours are from looking at the painting in London and matching them. I go to London a fair bit, although I won't be going there for a little while.
Yep.
No, there will any of us. and so I've matched the colours. And then, of course, the gradients tonally allow me to explore the depth as well within the work.
And the rest of the Drill Hall is also all Ham's works at the moment as well. Now, I know that you came from a sculptural background. In fact, your degree's in sculpture, isn't it? And I guess that still shows up in the easy way in which you can use other props as a background for your work.
Yeah, all of my works are, very... very much inspired by an object and a reaction, or the energy that I feel from that object. So it resonates. Sometimes, like we're standing in front of three Jacari bats, and they're called Le Dance after Matisse. And so these bats I got in Paris, and this wall painting in Paris is... there's a wall painting in Paris at the Musée de Moderne, and it's Matisse's dance. And so I matched the two, but made it a geometric discussion. So the colours are very close again, and then but I've removed the figure
because that's in the Matisse.
Yeah, but the figure is there in that this is a very well-known object that you handle. So there's an extension of the figure. Beyond that, you start to get into the saw blade paintings, which are quite large, and they are using a motif, which is a very sculptural motif.
Uh-huh.
And that helps me to create my paintings from an object and move towards a spatial discussion.
Yeah. And when you walk into the Drill Hall to begin with, you're immediately assailed by Suntrap, which goes back a little further, I think, doesn't it?
It's 2014. It's been exhibited a few times, Suntrap, which is good. And you know, it has layerings of meaning, but it's, I feel its core sort of meaning is that it's a very brutal object made into something beautiful, resplendent, another body in space.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's a positive image, even though it's full of rabbit traps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's only I've only made two works with rabbit traps, and the first one was called Diversion, where I welded all the rabbit traps open. And in fact, these are welded open as well. Although I did see someone at the opening with his lighter trying to tap on one. They were closed. I thought, oh, I hope my weld holds up because it's a rusty old beast. So that was funny. And then, but the first one was called Diversion, and it's a series of six traps. And there's a simple geometric pattern that flips. So the pattern is the diversion away from the brutality. That's one angle, and with most of my works, the more you dig, the more you find an art historical reference, which, you know, I enjoy doing, you know, and I don't feel it dominates the work. I think it's just a way into it, you know.
Yeah. And of course, if you dig around in the drill hole, you'll find that there's a whole room called I See Red, which has no red in it at all. We'll walk down there. Yeah. I See Red, for me, the immediate connotation was a Split End song. I'm not sure if that's part of what it...
look, it's in there. You know, Split End's certainly an inspiring band for me.
Yeah. The echoes have changed because we've moved into a different space in the drill hall now.
Yeah. And I See Red is a series... There's 42 panels in here that came from a... These are the first two.
Starts.
You know, and they're just a very kind of deep, dark green. It's not black, I guarantee you. And a blue. And they're both spatial. There's a discussion where, you know, is the blue receding into the darker colour? And then all of a sudden it's situated into a black ball is surrounded by blue. The I See Red comes from each of these colours started out as a red, and I bulked up the colour to make it blue or to make it green. So
at the core it's still red.
Yeah. And the panels that are primed in a pink, which I'm quite, you know, happy to not be completely anal in their application. I'm not that precious when it comes to things, even though I can make things very neatly. I like to actually get in there and make the work. And so this work, then after a while, those colours start to play with your vision, and that I start to see a red, and that's just that how it works. So the longer you're in here, obviously the lighting is hard, but you know, you get moments where that begins to happen. It certainly happens for me over here with these two. This blue around here certainly begins to be a red for me.
Yeah, and that optical illusion where you can look at it for a while and then look away.
Yes, there's an after effect. Oh, there's definitely a flashing that goes on, and that's encouraged by the kind of radiance of the blue. It's a very agitated colour. You know, none of my colours are straightforward. As a painter, I build a base for a colour and then work towards what I want that colour to do with interaction with other colours. Yep. And then to bring that into a work that's spatial, as we're in here, that's another jump. So also the thing with here is the white is incredibly important, you know.
The white of the walls.
Yeah, yeah. That they begin to sit off the wall, even though they're snug to the wall, you know. You get this kind of different floating feeling. Yeah. It's a meditative space in a way, here.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing now that priming of the camera. I can see the pink or the red behind
there.
Just
on the edge. Yeah. So, and you know, if you wanted to have an art historical link for this work, then it goes towards Nolan's painting called Quilting the Armour, which is one of the Ned Kelly series where they're stitching blue inside the helmet. So often, as a motif, there's kind of things I build into my work, and that's one of them with this.
Yes. Yeah. There was one other piece I was interested in pursuing, and that also, I think, goes back a while. In fact, I think it might have had some different lives. We're going to go into the other space at the back of the drill hall, and I'm sure I've seen this before with a different face on it, perhaps.
Echo, yes. Mm. Yes, Echo's, well, it was a broken and twisted basketball backboard that I saw in Yarralumla outside the YMCA. It's a very old basketball backboard. It's lived a life out in the elements. And
yeah.
I asked if I could have it, so I rang up the council and spoke to the YMCA, and they said, you know, it's yours if you want it. So I felled it with a hacksaw and tidied the rest up. Then it sat in my studio for 2 years and had various lives until it kind of settled into a reverberation, a discussion about that kind of reverberation and being an object in space freed from its former use. So the blue panel is the sky.
All right, yep.
And I've obviously welded the ring back on, but in another place.
Yeah, yep.
These twists as they were, it's been exhibited on its back, on its side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have necessarily a
standard position.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy with it to be exhibited sort of laying down or standing up.
Yeah.
And Yarralumla, to my knowledge, means echo. So that's where it got its name.
Oh, wow, okay.
Ngunnawal. So that's where that got its and these gradients are a reverberation, you know, so it's got that in there as well, built in.
And there's one final piece I wanted to talk about. I know that this one gets a mention in the catalogue as well, which is this one here. This is called Moon Boy after Nolan, and this goes back to Nolan's work again, of course.
Yeah, it does, yeah. When I came back from... I lived in London for a while, and when I came back, I was really interested in this kind of hero thing of Nolan. Not that he was my hero, but I became interested in the colour. And this work resonated straight away as soon as I saw it. It's a simple shovel head. It's probably been a concreter shovel, and I've added a bright yellow disc to the centre of it. But proportionately, it's in my mind very similar to his painting Moon Boy, which is a self-portrait.
It's mounted on a wall at such a height that it's clearly like a head height for most of us. Actually, it's more a head height for you than for others.
Well, I kind of had to pick a height, you know. But, you know, it does operate. It's that kind of dual thing where the shovel is an extension of the figure because you use it. We all know what a shovel is. We pick it up and then, yet it's got a neck and a head, and now it's got a double kind of motif. And it's been... turned into a different kind of icon. It's also a bit a pun on you know, Nolan's iconic.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like I say, I have to have these kind of extra elements, and that's one of them. It's been very kind of it's been discussed a lot, that object. I've exhibited it, I think, four times as well, and it's owned by it's in private collection.
So. All right. Yep.
But it's good to have it in the show. I really wanted it in the show because I think it's that kind of early work when I came back from London where I started to balance the object with the paint a bit better.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's terrific. It's been wonderful talking with you this morning, Ham, and getting more of an insight into the whole exhibition.
Yes, I hope it stays open for a lot longer. And you can all come and have a look. It's never crowded in here.
That's true, yeah. It's good up until, I think it's sometime in April it finishes,
yes,
doesn't it?
So mid-April, yeah.
Yeah. So lots of time to come down to the drill hall and see it yet. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks, Neil. Okay.